And this is a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanks. And it's it says a psalm of praise, but it's a psalm of thanksgiving if you study out the root word there. And it's the only psalm that is titled a psalm of praise. Now, I think it's 145. Psalm 145 is David's psalm of praise, but this is the only psalm that is titled a psalm of praise. And so let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. God, I pray and ask that you'd please bless my voice. Give me strength. Lord, please bless my mind with clarity. And Father, I pray that I'd be able to give something good this morning that would, Lord, maybe help somebody or that would maybe enlighten somebody. Lord, we love you. Please help us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask all these things. Amen. Awesome. And I'm just going to go through, and I'm not necessarily going to go verse by verse, but I've picked out some things out of this psalm that I think are good for me, and I think would be good for you to take note of. And some of them I get pretty excited about. I've got my favorite one is in verse 3. I think verse 3 might be my absolute favorite verse. But know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I love that verse. And so let's go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and we'll just read the whole psalm, and I'll start into it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And so I want to just start out, number one, let's be vocal. I've got seven things that I can pull out of here, and you know, I'm not going to keep going and make Brother Chad wait for Sunday morning if I don't have enough time, but I'll give you seven things this morning. Number one, let's be vocal. You know, one thing that I think is amazing is that, you know, here the Lord asks us. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. He says, come before his presence with singing in verse 2. And then in verse 4, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And me and my wife, last week, we went out to St. Louis, and we didn't know it, but it was impossible to book a hotel room that Friday in St. Louis because it was a Cardinals game that week, and I had no clue until I made it there, and you know, we're walking downtown, and I mean, there's just all kinds of people downtown walking around. They got their red on, they got, you know, their hats, their shirts, their socks, their shoes. I mean, everything is St. Louis Cardinals. And you know, of course, as it started to get closer to the game, there's people waving folks and say, hey, you know, park spots right here, park spots. There's signs everywhere, park here for $20, park here for $25. And you know, all I was trying to do is figure out how to get to the arch. And which right now is an awful time because there's so much construction along the river. But so we found a parking spot and found a cheap one. You know, didn't have to pay $25 to walk down to the arch. And but everybody was supporting their team. And in fact, they played the Milwaukee Brewers. There's even people walking around with Milwaukee Brewers stuff on because they were supporting their team. And it's amazing that no one has to ask us and beg us to root for our favorite baseball team. But the Lord has put countless times in his scriptures commands, look, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, why don't you come before my presence with singing? How about you sing unto me a new song in Psalm 98, verse 1. If you look back, it says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. It's almost like God comes to us and he says, what do I have to do to convince you that I'm good enough for you to sing a song to me? I mean, many times, you know, we don't even remember how to sing a certain chorus that we sing all the time at church, or we don't even remember the words to one of our favorite hymns, but we can always remember the baseball theme. We can always remember, you know, how to cheer at a baseball game, or, you know, our favorite football team's anthem. You know, if you look in Psalm 101, the Bible says this, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. In fact, you know, if you will, turn with me to Psalm 148. Psalm 148, and while you're turning there, let me quote to you Matthew 26:30. Jesus, at the end of the Lord's Supper, he decided that him and his disciples were going to sing a song. Matthew 26:30 says this, and when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Right before Jesus Christ was going to be crucified, right before he was going to be killed for my sins and yours, he decided that they were going to sing a hymn. They were going to sing a song of thanks to the Lord. And I mean, the first time I read that and I figured out and I studied it, you know, if you study the word hymn, it's a song of thanks to God. And it's like, here's Jesus about to offer himself on the cross, and he's singing a song about how thankful he is to God. he's singing Psalm 100. I mean, really, I mean, yeah, I'm not saying that's the exact song he sang, but he was singing something like that. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. That's what he did. If you look in Psalm 148, the Bible says this: praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heaven, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. And he hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of the people and praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, the people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. And you know, here the Lord, he puts a commandment out to all creation, including me and you, to praise the Lord and to give him praise. Now, here's just some food for thought. You know what? The Lord asks us time after time to give him praise. And you know what? We are the only part of his creation that when he asks us, we have the option of doing it or not. Everything else, Jesus said that if the children of Israel had not praised his name and said Hosanna to the king, that the rocks would cry out and they would praise him. You know what? The Bible says constantly through the book of Psalms here, if you look over in Psalm 98 and verse number 7, it says, let the sea roar, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands and the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judgeth the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the people with equity. And you know what? The Lord's creation, all of it besides us, is given no option. If the Lord says praise him, they praise him. If you look in Revelation chapter 4, he's got angels before his presence that night and day they cease not to say holy, holy, holy to the Lord God Almighty. You know what? The Lord loves his praise. And what's even better is if we do decide to give him praise, he knows it's because we want to. You know what? We're not like the rocks or the trees or the waters where if he says it, it happens. We're not like the angels where they're there 100% of the time, day and night, you know, physically impossible for us to do. He says praise him, and when we praise him, that's how much more special it is to him because we have the option. I mean, it shouldn't be an option. We should just praise him, but we have the option. He doesn't command us to do it, and we automatically do it without letting us. You know, we choose to do it. And so let's be vocal for our Lord. Let's say praise the Lord. Let's say glory to God. Let's say amen. Let's say thank the Lord. You know what? Number two, I want to just rejoice with you of the promise of his coming kingdom. One thing I love about the Psalms is that there's so much put all together. It's really David speaking from his heart here. And he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And let me promise you that someday there won't be an option. God's given us the option now, but let me tell you, someday his kingdom is going to come to us. He's going to bring to earth all the things of heaven. He's going to bring to earth, you know, the no more tears, the no more sorrow. If you can, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And I just want to rejoice with you this morning. Some of these things are just things that I hope this week you can think of and be like, you know what, it might be a rough week, but thank the Lord that, you know, his promised kingdom is still coming. And you know what? Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9. If you're there, the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If you can, turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. You know what? The Bible tells us that, you know, someday Jesus Christ is going to have a kingdom here on earth. He's going to rule. It's going to be his way. And you know what? We're not going to have to worry about the governments fighting each other. We're not going to have to worry about the Palestinians and the Israels fighting out and whether or not our government's going to stand with them. We're just going to have to worry about what Jesus tells us to do, and we're just going to have to do it. That's a great thing. You know what? If our president or if a king of some nation here on earth says that something needs to be done, you stop and you wonder, is that really the right thing? But here is coming a kingdom when we're not going to have to worry about if the right thing is being done in the office. We're not going to have to worry about if the right laws are being made. They are going to be made. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 15, the Bible says this. It says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. This is talking about Christ coming. And that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. He will rule with the rod of iron. Skip over a page to Revelation 20, verse 6. or actually verse 4, 20 verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which were not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and that they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's going to be 1,000 years coming up where the first resurrection is going to happen, and we're going to reign with Christ. Those people who were beheaded for the cross, those people who went through the tribulation and were saved and were beheaded for not worshiping the beast or having his image in their hand or their forehead, these people got to reign with Christ 1,000 years. After that, he cast the devil into the lake of fire. He cast the world and the old heaven, the old earth into the lake of fire, and he creates a new heaven and a new earth. You know what? Someday Christ is going to set up his kingdom. I am looking forward to that. Psalms here tells us that someday the whole world, all the lands will make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know what? The Lord doesn't ask something that can't be expected. He's not unreasonable. And you know what? Throughout the book of Psalms, he tells us, you know, Psalm 99 says this, it says, the Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. You know why? Because he is worthy for all the lands of the earth to worship him. He is worthy for all the nations to worship him. And you know what? Someday he's going to come and he's going to take that right and he's going to make it happen. You know what? It doesn't matter that, you know, the queers might be standing outside of our church and, you know, protesting. Someday they're going to bow before the Lord. Their tongues are going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. It doesn't matter if somebody says, well, I don't believe in God, and I don't believe that, you know, he is the Lord, and I don't even believe that he exists. Someday, the Lord's going to come, and they are. They're going to bow their knee before him. They're going to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, it doesn't matter that, you know, at work somebody might take the name of Christ in vain. Someday, they're going to have to take it and say, honor be to Christ, praise be to Christ, because he's going to come, and they're going to have to give him homage. And you know what? If you need something to think about this week, you know, if you're having trouble being vocal, if you need something to think about, you know what? Let's think about his promise. Kingdom. He's coming for us. He's going to take us up there, and then he's going to bring us back down, and then he's going to create a new place for us. It's just amazing what he has promised to do for us. And of course, you know, if that wasn't enough, Matthew 20 and 20 through 23, I'm not going to turn there, but you know, that's where James and John, their mom, came. And they, and she, you know, here's their mom, you know, going to bat for them, disciples of Christ. You know, hey, you know, Jesus, you know, I have something I want to ask you. Jesus is like, of course, what do you want? Well, can my son James sit at the one hand and my son John sit at the other? Would you do that for my sons? You know, and it's a silly thing, and Jesus turned it into a lesson. But, you know, someday there are going to be people sitting to the left and the right hand of Christ. He said that the least in the kingdom of heaven will be the greatest. And that's something we can look forward to. Something we have now, number three, privilege. We have some privilege. Let me turn with you to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Privilege. You know what? The Bible says, enter into his courts with praise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. You know what? There's a time where you could not enter into the courts of God just however you wanted to. There is a time where you had to be a special person doing a special thing in order to go into the tabernacle of God. In Exodus 19, let me give you an example of what kind of God we serve, what kind of God we worship. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 11, this is right before God invites Moses up to the mountain, gives him the Ten Commandments. What does it say? It says in verse 11, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. Skip down the chapter to verse number 21. Verse number 21, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. You know what? Here's the Lord. It's not even a house that was built for him. It's just a mountain that was there. And he says, Moses, if an animal comes near and touches the mountain, y'all need to stone it and burn it. If a person comes through and even puts a hand on the mountain when I'm down, you need to stone them or shoot them through. And here is the Lord. He's showing us that he is holy and he respects his own holiness and that he commands us to respect his holiness. He says, even the priest, he says, Moses, if the priests have not sanctified themselves, you know, make sure they have, because if they come up and they're not sanctified, you know, I'm going to come upon them. I'm going to kill them. You know, the Lord could not stand to have any sinfulness in his presence. He could not stand to just have anybody come into his presence. I mean, time after time, you know, here's Moses in the burning bush. Moses, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for thou standest on holy ground. He came to Joshua. He said, put off thy shoe from off thy foot, for thou standest on holy ground. He came before Isaiah, and he said, put off thy shoe from off thy foot, for thou standest on holy ground. He respects the ground he walks on, and this is the Lord. And he says, you know what? If you're going to come in my presence, you know what? You need to be sanctified. You need to be holy. Well, here, let me tell you, you know what? The Lord is commanding us to come before his presence with singing, into his courts with praise. You know what? I'm going to tell you folks today that, you know what? It's not that, you know, God has changed. It's not that anything has changed. But when we get saved, his Holy Spirit comes into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. And the Bible says that, you know, in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. You know what? If you look in Matthew 27, verse 50 through 52, that's where Jesus was crucified. And as he gave up the ghost, the veil of the temple was rent in two, showing that we no longer had to stay outside of the veil, no longer had to stay outside of the Holy of Holies, but we could go in a time of need and ask for grace, ask for mercy. Let me tell you, folks, you have privilege before God. You know what? You are his children. You are his people. It says right there in Psalm 100, verse 3, that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know what? You could come into the temple and just do whatever you want. You know what? If you look and read in the book of Esther, Esther could not just come before the king in whatever way she wanted. You know what? There's a certain way things were done with kings. There was a certain way things were done in the court. And, you know, to kind of bring it to earth here is, you know, you think of a big company. You know, while we were out in St. Louis, we noticed that there's a big Purina building, and I'm assuming it was some kind of headquarters. But, you know, I could just imagine a bunch of people sitting around a table and, you know, suits and all buttoned up and, you know, hankies in their pockets and, you know, things to hold their, you know, fancy things to hold their cuffs together. And, you know, and all of a sudden somebody walks in just singing a song, you know, glory be to God, you know, singing along. You know what? That doesn't happen. You know, when there's a meeting and all the CEOs are present of a company, you know, it's a serious matter and they might be talking and joking, but, you know, there's a decor to be followed. There's a certain way to act. And, you know, when there's in the courts and the gates, you know, there's a certain way to act. There's a certain way for you to do things. And you know, here the Lord is saying, I have cleansed you. I've put my Holy Spirit in your heart. But let me tell you, you have the privilege to come before me now. You have the privilege to call me your own Father. You have the privilege to say that, God, you know, I need this. You can come boldly to me in a time of need. Let me tell you, we have privilege. We have privilege to use the only begotten Son of God's name and to say, Lord, by the name of Jesus Christ, I want to ask this. You know, in the name of Christ, I want this. Jesus asked us. He's told us, you know, pray in my name and I shall do it. He said that in John chapter 15. So let me tell you, you know what? Not only should we be vocal, not only is there a promised kingdom, we have privilege to take advantage of those things. Number four, sacrifice required. Sacrifice required. If you're still there in Exodus, just go over to Leviticus for me. Let's go over to Leviticus. Sacrifice required. You know what? We might have privilege, but the Lord is still a God that enjoys sacrifices. David, at one point, wrote in the Psalms that a broken and a contrite heart are the sacrifices of God. And, you know, God, he has told us time after time in the Scriptures that the blood of lambs and the blood of goats, he doesn't have a need for it anymore. If he wanted a goat, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the beast of every field. You know, he owns them. And so he's not looking for the things that he owns. Like I said earlier, we are the only creation that comes willingly to God. You know, we are the only one. He gives us the option. And so here in Leviticus chapter 7 and verse number 12, the Bible says this. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, cakes mingled with oil and of fine flour, fried. Beside the cakes he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And I'll end it there. You know what? The Bible said that when the people of Israel were going to have even just a thanksgiving offering to the Lord, it required sacrifice. You know, it wasn't just a, thanks, Lord, that was good. You know, they came to him and they offered something of themselves. And I want to tell you, if you look, turn with me now to Romans. Turn with me now to Romans. There is a, I already told you, God's not looking for us to go and take one of our goats or to go and buy a lamb and to sacrifice that. He is looking for a personal sacrifice. And for everybody, that's different. That is the amazing part about God. You know, for me, it might be one thing. For you, it might be another thing. But in the end, it all comes from us. It has to be from me and from you. It can't be something that, you know, is just something that he could have. He wants us. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, here he says we need to offer our own bodies a living sacrifice. He says, you know what, we don't have to, you know, be like the priest and, you know, wash our garments seven times or spend so many days, you know, but he, you know, he says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, 1 John 1:9, if we ask God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. You know what? He has offered us a way to make ourselves holy and acceptable. He's offered us a chance at any time to come boldly to the throne of grace. He's put it all there for us. All we have to do is do it. You know what? When the priest would come in, they would offer a lamb or a bullock or a goat or a turtle dove. And you know what he's asking from us? He's asking, you know, he says, Jesse, I want you, when you bring a Thanksgiving offering, to bring yourself. He says, I want you to put yourself upon the altar and sacrifice part of your time, part of your life. You know what? When the Lord does something good for us, it's amazing. We forget that he done it and we don't thank him. You know, one of the things I try to make a habit about on my bus route is just, and I'm nothing special, but every time that we pray, I say, Lord, thank you. In the afternoon, I said, Lord, thank you. You brought us to church safe this morning like we asked. Because if you pray for the safety on the buses and all the buses come in safe, then the Lord just answered your prayer. I mean, we've had weeks where one of the buses had broke down. We've had times where, you know, for some reason or another, the Lord has allowed that. But, I mean, this week, I believe all the buses came in safe. Is that right, Brother Gordon? All the buses came in safe. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, God, for bringing in the buses safe. Now, you know what? If we just go to him in prayer and take our time and actually sincerely thank him, you know what that is? That's a sacrifice to the Lord. You know what? Now, if we don't take our time and, you know, we're just thinking in our head, you know, thank you, Lord. You know, I'm sure he appreciates that. But, you know, the Lord, he sacrifice required. You know what? The more you thank the Lord, the more you go to him. You know, the people who I give the most to are the people who I think are the most deserving. And, you know, when my children, you know, when I start having more children, you know, when my baby comes and, you know, she does something awful, you know, she's going to expect a punishment. But when she does something good, you know, there's supposed to be a reward. I mean, reward, you know, punishment, you know, and I'm not even a dad yet, and I know that. You know, I'm just a sinful man, and I know that. You know, at work, you know, I had a boss, and, you know, he said, Jesse, because I cleaned for him. His name was Brad, and Brad, he shaved his head just because he wanted to. He said one day he came in, and his wife said, you know what, you should shave your head. And he said, okay. He got up, went and shaved his head. I don't know why. But he wore a goatee all the time. He was the meat manager. He'd been a meat manager for like 30 years. And, you know, he's standing there. He's got like, it doesn't look like he's in shape, but he's got these big, strong arms. I mean, from cut, because when he started, they actually had the halves that they put in the cooler. They actually had half a piece of beef that came in, and that's what they cut up. So he was used to lugging around actual halves of beef and cutting it up that way. Well, I mean, he had these blue eyes that looked right through you, and he'd just be like, Jesse, if I ask you to clean something, you don't have to come and ask me about it. He's like, if it's not clean enough, I'll see it, and I'll know that you didn't clean it. He's like, you don't have to come to me to tell me that you cleaned it. And you know what? If Brad knew that, and if Brad was just a sinful man, and he knows that, you know, he expects certain things from our work, or he expects me to come to him at certain times and not come to him at other times, how much more does the Lord know that? And you know what? If we don't come to him when we're thankful for stuff and we keep asking him and we keep asking, he keeps giving and we don't come back to him and offer that sacrifice of thanksgiving, why do we expect any more from him? Now, thankfully, he's a holy heavenly father, and he does a lot of good for us. But you know what? Some sacrifice is required. You know what? Number five, the amazing God. And let me tell you, we have an amazing God. We have an awesome God. We have a great God. Whatever the highest form of praise in your mind is, that's what kind of God we have. You know, the Bible says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves." And you know what? The Bible says all through it about how great God is. And sometimes I think we hear it so much and we say it so much that we don't really believe it anymore. But you know what? This is the same God that in the beginning he spoke and things came into existence. And you know, you know, we always say that and we say, okay, you know, children, you know, God created the world and the first day he created this and then the second day he created this. But literally what it was is God said one day, maybe he got bored, I don't know, but one day he decided, I want to create something. And he came to the earth and the earth was without form and void. And he said, you know what, this is boring, you know, this is just like a mound of Play-Doh, let's do something with it. He said, you know, let there be, you know, there's waters upon the face of the deep. He said, you know what, there needs to be some ground. Let's dry things up. And boom, you know, he made some earth and it appeared in the middle, just out of nowhere. He said, oh, we got too much water still. Let's take some of the water and put it here. And all of a sudden the water just poof, just went ahead and done it for him. He's looking at the earth and he says, man, you know, I like brown all right, but let's make some green too. And boom, some little seedlings sprouted out of the ground. He said, you know, I'm going to get hungry if I go down there. Let me make some fruit-bearing trees. Boom, and it says he made the trees and they had fruit on them already. And then he said, you know, I'm going to get lonely. And he took his own hands and he made us. And he took his own breath and he breathed into our body. That's how amazing God is. Now, you know what? The fact that, you know, my wife being pregnant, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about women. I've learned a lot about children on my way there. And, you know, I'm going to learn even more when the baby's actually here. But it's amazing that God has given us the gift to where when a man and a woman come together like he planned, that there could be a baby. And that you could create life like that. And of course, he's the one that does the creating, but it's just amazing that he allows us to be a part of it. And you know what? Here we are. We can create, you know, a baby, a little boy, a little girl, but he created everything with his voice. He just said it. And you know what? I mean, if you get imaginative, just imagine if you could do that with your voice. You know, we're wanting to put new siding on the building over here. What if we didn't have to go over there with a screw gun and with a pry bar? We just say, oh, let's take that siding off. Poof, it's off, you know, and it's laying on the ground. You're like, well, I don't want to pick this up. Let's put it in the dumpster. Poof, it's in the dumpster. And you're just like, yes. You know, you imagine how much work you could get done if you could just speak and it would happen. You know, I preached this message at Brother Clanny's church, and, you know, the illustration I used was, what if you could go home and, you know, for dinner and you didn't have to worry about it. You could just speak and your dinner was there. Lord, I'd like a sirloin steak. Poof. You cut into it and you'd be like, oh, Lord, that's a little well done. Could I have it medium well? Poof. Oh, that's much better, you know. And you look over at your wife's steak. Lord, she'd like hers more well done. Poof. You know, and, you know, it's just like I'm working at a pizza place. I learned that some people, they had a particular way to cook their pizza. You know, I learned that, you know, and Miss Darcy, she knew who wanted their pizza a certain way. She knew how Brother Bobby Ross wanted the pizza. You know, she knew how, you know, so-and-so wanted their pizza. You know, she knew how, you know, the Markles wanted their pizza when they came in. She knew how the Carnes wanted their sub when they ordered it because they ordered the same thing every week. And you know what? When we're in a restaurant, you know, we send it back. But imagine if you could speak and it would happen, you know. Oh, Lord, I really don't like the sweet potato. Could you just give me a regular baked potato? Poof, and it's there. And when I preached that at Brother Clanny's church, a man came up to me. He said, well, I know you're young and you haven't been married very long, but as marriage goes on, if you do it right, you can just call Heather and speak the word, and poof, dinner's going to be there. So I don't know if I just don't have enough faith, but sometimes I do that, and it's not quite there yet. You know, I say, honey, you know, when the dinner comes out, I want the cookies to go in, and when I get done, I want the cookies to come out. But, you know, it doesn't always happen that way. Pray for me that I get some more faith and that I live through tonight. And I don't have a doghouse, so I just sleep outside sometimes. But, no, we have an amazing God. And he is so great that he not only created us with his own hands and with his own breath, and he sent his only begotten son to die for us. It was the only one he had. Now, you know what? He had millions of angels. He had thousands of creations that he could have sacrificed for us. And for a while we did. We sacrificed the lamb. We sacrificed the bullock. But then he gave his only son, the most precious thing to him. I am my father's only son. And every time I tell the story, I know that for a fact, my dad would not give me up for anybody. He would not say, you know what, I don't want them to die, I want Jesse to die. He wouldn't do that because he loves me. I'm his only son. Well, God did that with his only heavenly son. Jesus had to experience it. He took on all our sins. He was sacrificed once to bear the burdens of many. And you know what? We have an amazing God. But speaking of Christ, Christ our shepherd. Verse number 3 says this, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And I'm winding down here. But if you look with me in 1 Samuel 17, last place I'll have you turn, 1 Samuel 17. You know what? Christ is our shepherd. He offers us a shepherd. He didn't just offer us a sacrifice. He didn't just offer us up somebody to sanctify us. He offered us a shepherd to take care of us. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'll give you some time to turn there. But you know what? Jesus, he told the story in Luke 15. He said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he find it?" He asked that as a question. And you know what? Jesus is the kind of shepherd that if one of his 100 sheep went astray or did something stupid and just got lost, you know what happens? He would take his time to go and find us. He'd leave the 99 to go find us and to come bring us back to the fold. That's the kind of shepherd Jesus is. Here's a man that is after God's own heart, and let's see what kind of shepherd he was. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, and the Bible says this, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep," just like Jesus is keeping his father's sheep. "And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." You know what? The Bible says that the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. "And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear." And here's how he applied it to his life. "And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And you know what? David did that for his sheep, which were just dumb animals that, you know, they made a living off of. You know what? Jesus, he's going to be more willing to fight the lion, which is the devil, and that bear, which is the devil trying to get us, and the giants of our life that are coming after us. He'll fight those for us. You know what? He'll protect his sheep. He will shepherd us. Of course, many of you probably have, you know, Psalm 23 memorized, but it's just such an awesome psalm as you go through. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I'm not going to want anything. I'm not going to need anything. He's going to take care of me. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." It's so peaceful. He's got green pastures there. There's no brown in the grass. There's no, you know, there's no crab weed or anything like that. He's got green pastures. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Jesus Christ, our shepherd. He's going to take care of us. Just like David would fight a lion and a bear for his sheep, Jesus Christ would do even more for me and you. You know what? I cannot emphasize how much it says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Not only that, the Bible says that, you know what, if we have infirmities, that Christ can understand that because he's experienced it for us. In Hebrews, if you look through, it tells us that Christ has become our own priest. And, you know, not only is he a priest of Melchizedek, but he is a priest that has felt our infirmities. He's gone through the troubles. And, you know, every time you come to that blockade or that problem, and, you know, maybe it's a loss of a loved one, and you know what, you don't hear that Jesus' father is mentioned later on in the Gospels. I believe Jesus lost loved ones that were close to him. You know, I believe Jesus had times in his life where he got sick and he didn't know why. And all these things, I believe Jesus Christ, he's experienced it all for me and you. He not only took on our sins, he went through all the temptations and the trials. He went to the wilderness and of the devil was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. And the only ones that it mentions are the ones that, you know, "Hey, Jesus, you could turn those rocks into bread if you want to." Well, I mean, you know, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God," get thee hence, Satan, you know. And Jesus, he was tempted for us, and he knows what we need. He's our shepherd. He'll take care of us. Last but not least, enduring truth. Enduring truth. We see from Psalm 100, not only that there's a need to be vocal, to praise the Lord, that we have privilege, and that there's sacrifice required, that there's a coming kingdom, that there's an amazing God, and that there's a shepherd that's going to take care of us, but we find out that there's enduring truth. You know what? For the Lord is good, verse 5. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 19 says this. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has promised the word. He's preserved it for us. If there's any question about whether this is the word of God, we know that he promised us that he was going to preserve it for us. He's going to keep it for us so that we knew what he wanted. I was talking to somebody yesterday on the bus route, and they said, you know, I just wish that God would tell me what I need to do, that he would just show me what I need to do. I said, well, I mean, he wrote a book for you. He did. Right. Well, yeah, he wrote the word of God. And sometimes we're like, well, yeah, but, you know, that's all ambiguous. It's a story. But let me tell you, he said, well, how do I know when he's talking to me? I said, well, tell you what, if you read the New Testament, if you read Psalms and Proverbs, you know, because that's what he needed at the time. He needed something practical, something that could dig in right away. I said, you're going to come to something that's going to help you, and you'll know it when you come to it. It's just going to grab a hold of you, say, that's exactly what I'm going through. That's exactly what I need. You'll know. You know what the Bible says, Psalm 12? It says, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. He promises he's going to keep his word and exalt it. He's going to keep it, and he's going to preserve it. He's going to keep it pure. He's going to leave it for us. And you know what? Let me just give you that. Like I said, if there's some of this that you can take through the week, praise the Lord. But let me remind you that, you know what? His promised kingdom is coming. You know, let's tell other people. You know, just like the man I talked to, there are people out there who have no hope. They have no peace. They, you know, they're living, you know, either by themselves or, you know, in one house with 12 people there, and they're not really happy with it, and they don't really know what to do to make themselves happy with it. But let me tell you, the Lord has some things that we can look at to help us. You know what? He's got some things that'll help us get through the hard times. He's got some things that'll help us, you know, get through this coming week. You know, take it a day at a time is sometimes all you can do. And he's promised us there. He's got an enduring truth. It'll be there tomorrow. It'll be there next week. It'll be there a year from now. And so let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Dear God, thank you for the day. Thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your word, and thank you that it has endured this long so that I could preach it. Lord, we love you. I thank you for your coming kingdom. I pray that we'd be able to add some to it this morning as we have Sunday morning church and children's church. Lord, we love you. Please bless and please help us this morning to pay attention. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.